It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And the drive is live. It's a Reaction Monday.
Hey!
It's a reaction.
Hold on now. Hold on now.
What happened?
I'll start. Oh. Ball start on Clint Sterner in the drive. Hold on now.
That's right.
I wanted to bust in here about 1:49 and start this thing in honor of the great Laramie.
Sorry about that, Laramie. I stole it from you right there.
That's hilarious. All right. These guys are going to break down all those things that we need to talk about after a 34-7 loss. But right now you're listening to KILT, KILT 2 and H in KLT HD2 in Odyssey Sports Station, and it might be T-Mill's fault, but the drive is live.
Nah, man, it was the false start's fault.
Hey, hold on, man. Hey,
it's hard to do your job when I jump off and mess the rhythm up.
Yeah, exactly.
Tyler, I'm not sure you get to talk yet. All right? Now, that just calm down, because there's a lot of people who have some issues with you right now. 713-572-4610. Those of you
on
YouTube.
You're going to open up the text line on Tyler's
it's only fair. Here, he's put himself in this position.
The because if it was the other way around, rolling,
I bet it was. If it was the other way around, Tyler would have been in here to beat us to the punch. Yes! I told you. Hey, these things keep getting progressively worse, too. All right, it was Denver. That was a bit of a tight one. Then it was just embarrassment to lose to Bryce, but you could tell yourself, yeah, we're still young. And then you just went in here and got your ass kicked. Led by you. This is very similar to the last big game that you went to with a Houston team. The Astros in Game 7 against the Rangers, where that game got away from you before you could even use the bathroom for the first time.
Damn, Tyler.
Just like this one. So, listen, I want to start right now on this Reaction Monday, and many thanks to the Houston Texans and Tyler Milner that it is not a Mad Dog Monday. Clint, people, this is real. The Tyler curse, the Tyler road game curse is real.
Damn, Tyler.
I mean, there's just too much. This is three straight years. He went to Denver in that ridiculous Davis Mills jersey and lost. He went to Carolina. That's supposed to be a layup. That's a guaranteed W. And they lost. He looked at the schedule. Where should I go? Where should I go? Minneapolis. Everybody penciled the Vikings in as a W before the season. Lopez, a couple weeks, they'll be 4-0. They'll be 4-0. They'll be 4-0 before they get to Buffalo. And then Tyler took his happy ass on that plane. And he got on that plane. And he went down there with his beautiful wife. And they went down there. And thank God somebody thought better of it and they didn't wear matching jerseys to that game. Because that would have been a real
embarrassment. Oh, did they not?
No,
we
Tyler's
did not mess that up.
Tyler's the only one. Oh, you screwed that up? She didn't have one?
Yeah, I screwed that up.
Okay.
I bought the wrong size jersey for myself. I got it mixed up in my head. I'm normally an XL, but in a jersey, I'm a large. So I got her a large, me in an XL. And I looked like a fool with that XL on. So I had to take her large, and she wore a T-shirt.
Yeah.
You saved yourself, by the way. we ironed that out while you were gone on Friday. We decided that worked out for the better.
I think it worked out great, but you flew down there and you went to Mall of America and you had a good time, and I hope you had a Juicy Lucy.
Man, I couldn't find one anywhere.
Y'all did like a boat trip. Looked like y'all was on a boat or whatever. Had a good time.
Booze cruise the Mississippi.
And you went out there and you had to hear the skull chant, which was, I'm sure,
we heard it.
A fun experience and all of that. They had some old guy going to the Ring of Honor.
Yeah, Bobby something.
Bobby, yeah. And then you sat in there, and they did exactly what they always do when you're at the game on the road.
This felt like a new level.
It's clearly a curse. And you have, I think, Clint, one of two ways to go. One, you have to just keep going until you break it. Or two, you just are not allowed to go to any Houston road sport events. Is it just road? Is it just road?
I mean,
it's just road games.
It's hard because that last Astros, that Game 7, like, I think, I think in critical games, you probably should stay away.
Maybe it's like playoffs or something. But no, I go to Texans home games all the time, and they win pretty often.
Well,
when I'm there.
I think maybe you should try just easing out of town and going to one. I think, the announcing and talking about the jersey. And,
I don't think that matters now. I don't talking, think if you know, just get, didn't
getting
say
recommendations
it.
Of where you're going to eat and just making this. You know, this whole thing, a social media and a Sports Radio 610 event. Yeah, I think you got to just try to sneak off to one. And then if they win, you come back and go, guess what, y'all? I was at that
surprise.
Game. I was at that game. Y'all can't say it anymore.
I don't think you should do that.
I mean, boys, we're at a point where this morning on the plane in Minneapolis, I looked at my wife and I said, all right, next year, the away game we go to, I have to pick the very worst team on the schedule.
You
and
tried
we have to,
that. You
can't. And then I remembered, we were at Carolina last year. And that's when we lost.
You pick Carolina.
So I don't know what to do at this point. I mean, we're going up against Sam Darnold on Sunday. We were going against up Carolina Panthers and Bryce Young last year. So I don't have an excuse for it.
Well, the direction it looks like them Cowboys are taking, just ease up to Dallas without announcing it.
I don't know.
Ease a big place, man.
Another one this
big
year?
Place.
That'd be a risk.
Big
Tyler.
Place. Well, you need multiple in a year. You need to quit swinging one time.
This would be the day that the Dallas Cowboys rush defense figures it out.
I need
that
more at-bats.
That would be the day that the Cowboys rush defense figured it out. That'd be the day CeeDee Lamb and Dak were on the same page.
Get all them costumes you got. Wear a costume, man.
You should go in there like a masked wrestler.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like your Rey Mysterio.
I mean, you and Meg are costume people. Putting them wrestling costumes on.
Damn
man.
It, Tyler.
I mean, I'm open up for ideas right now. I got nothing.
That photo I sent of
if
the guy.
If you hide your face and your dime-sized nipples, I think you can get through with nobody noticing.
That photo of the guy that was at the Iowa Big Ten Championship game. Where he was he knew he paid all that money.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Hotel, them tickets. And he came up from Iowa City or Des Moines or wherever he's from. And he just had to sit there and take that ass whipping. That's all I could think about with Tyler.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they had to have been so embarrassing.
That was my face before halftime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Tyler, Gus and Katie, Tyler, I love you, brother. But please, for the sake of the team, stop going to games.
I hear you. I mean, the amount
this
of
isn't on you. This is on
Twitter.
Tunzel. Yeah. Why don't you try to go and fully root for the other team?
That's well, I can never do that.
Someone has texted in to say you should have gone in a Vikings jersey and fully rooted for the Vikings to see if that'll break the curse. It is clearly a curse right now. The Tyler Road game, and I just think big Houston sporting event. I think it's a curse. I think it's real. I want to check to see if Tyler was there when the Rockets officially got eliminated from the playoffs last year. Because Tyler went to late season games last year, Clint. I think
when they were making a comeback, they were coming up.
I think he went to a Warriors game, and I think Tyler might have been there when they officially were eliminated.
Whenever all of a sudden Klay Thompson rolled the clock back.
Yeah. That was you, Tyler. Did that happen?
That was the only Rockets game I went to last year.
Yes, Clay can't move, but he rolled the clock.
He went off that night.
He smelt. He gave us the locker room. He smelt that old spice. He said it.
That is some good smell.
Is that old spice? Is that
for the record? Old Spice has come a long way.
He said, "Is that him? Oh hell yeah, let's go."
What up?
He told Steph, "My night." Drace, that's some good screen.
Third in the clock.
All right, Reaction Monday. This obviously was a tough one, and we can have fun with Tyler, but Tyler didn't tell them people to go out there and embarrass his ass out there in Minneapolis. So that was an ass-kicking, Clint, and in a lot of ways. Coming up here in the next segment, we'll hear from D'Amico Ryans as he speaks to the media on Monday. Today, we'll go out to NRG to get his thoughts, and this will be one to hear because he is he's watched the tape. He's watched, I would imagine, hell, if he could, he may have just said to hell with it in the middle of the second quarter and just threw the remote down and stopped. But he's watched the tape, and so we'll hear from the head coach today. But, Clint, I'll throw this one out to you and the people. You can jump in, 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch as well, you can jump in on your thoughts with this question. Clint, there was a lot that was frustrating. About that game yesterday. And I know you and Sean talked about it in the post game yesterday. But now that you've had some more time, you've had over 24 hours, to, almost over 24 hours to look at that debacle that happened in Minneapolis yesterday. What was the most alarming? What was the thing that, that jumped out to you the most of the frustration?
Penalties, without a doubt. Penalties, without a doubt. And here's why. I've got three different things here, Ron, that, that really jumped off of this game that were problematic. And all three of them, Ron, all three of them, or two of the three, I'm sorry, you were happened last week as well, right? And so that's part of why they're the most alarming things, right? The penalties, there were over the last two games. There's been 23 penalties for over 200 yards, and a huge chunk of the offensive penalties, hell, if not damn near all of them, are pre-snap penalties. Whether they're illegal formations where the tackles are lining up too far back, and they're in the backfield, there's got to be some level, like in NFL football and all of football, there's got to be some defining line that says, okay, you're off the ball and you can move, you're off the ball and you're a skilled player, or you're on the ball and you can't move. And that line typically comes into play when your tackles are lined up too deep or your receivers are lined up on the line and they then go in motion or there's too many on the line. All those rules matter, right? The alarming part of it is the Texans are shooting themselves in the foot before they ever snap the football offensively. And Laremy Tunsil is the biggest culprit of them all. He specifically, individually, is killing this football team.
Mm.
And
killing them, huh?
10 penalties in three games, and he is killing drives.
Himself. He's got 10.
He has 10 himself.
A couple of them have been declined, Clint, so he may have.
Well, I don't know. I think that would make it 11 or 12, but I don't think the 10 is including the ones that have been declined.
No, I'm just saying. That's what I'm saying. He's had some decline.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a penalty problem throughout the entire locker room, but right now, today, in this week against the Vikings, it was a Laremy Tunsil problem first and foremost. He is killing this football team. I think three of the first six drives were stalled due to penalty, or in large part due to penalties. And when it's your best player that's paid more money than anybody on the team, that's regarded as one of the best pass blocking, because he's not lining up deep because he's trying to run block. He's lining up deep to get a jump or a step or an inch on a defensive edge rusher that he's having to block. And so this is the best, one of, if not the best, pass blocking tackle in the game. It's why you paid him. He is a guy that does not participate in the offseason, does not participate in training camp. Sits out until he's ready to rock and roll. And then you come to game time and you are consistently stalling drives because you can't line up right and you can't quit jumping before the ball snapped. It's first and foremost a Laremy Tunsil problem, but let's be honest, the entire team it's been an issue with this team in 2024.
Titus got a couple of them, at least yesterday.
Last week, the defense had several of them, pass interference and roughing the quarterback and taking game-changing plays off the board. You look at it this week, you're taking third and sixes and turning them into third and 14s and third and 19s.
That was the one, like Tyler was at the game. That might have been it's too early. And I didn't pay that amount of money, but that little moment there where it was third down and four, and we sit here after Hockley came up four different times because they got penalties for false starts or illegal procedure right there to turn it to third and 19. If I were there and I were Tyler, I would at least had to take in a walk. I would have to get up out of my seat and walk off. Yeah. Maybe I'm not leaving because I've spent too much money on them tickets. But that was out of control. That was utterly ridiculous. It wasn't that damn loud. It was not that damn loud out there where somebody couldn't look at the ball and catch the snap.
When you add insult to injury when you listen to Laremy Tunsil talk about, you know, kind of deflect and it's a team problem and you know, basically the whole they're trying to make an example of me instead of just taking responsibility and being accountable.
I got his comments.
I mean, Tytus Howard literally said, now Tytus Howard's a little frustrated with it too, and I get it. It's a point of emphasis in the league this year. The league is throwing the football more than it ever has, maybe not the first four games, but in general, overall. And it's hard on the tackles. I get it. But you listen to Tytus Howard, at least he said, hey, man, I hugged the line as much as I possibly could. I was trying to get even with the guard when I was doing it. It's like Laramie just said, to hell with it. I'm going to keep lining up illegally.
Laramie said, they tried to make an example out of us. Yeah. The first 2 weeks, we lined up the same with no problem. Now it's a problem. I feel like somebody told them to make an example out of us.
No, the only problem is you having your head up your butt, bro. Like, get your head out of your butt. Four straight pre-snap penalties.
But like, to the point that...
Four straight, three of which were false starts. That is the most embarrassing moment I've ever had as a sports fan.
That's a tough one. That's the most embarrassing moment. Yeah, you were there for it. Like, to the point that Clint made, though. It's, right. Let me stop everybody every time somebody blows a whistle they keep hearing number 78. Maybe I'll scoot up a taste. Maybe I'll scoot up so much that I will take this out of their hands and they won't say nothing. And like Seth said earlier, a lot of tackles are doing like receivers and just checking down the line.
Yeah, I wasn't done with my spiel there, Ron. The other, like, there's just so many reasons why these penalties are unacceptable. When you talk about how many there are, when you talk about who it is, when you talk about it's pre-snap, and when you talk about all you got to do is check with the official. You know what I mean? Like, all of these things, it's just a matter of there's... The penalties and just penalties in general, you can't win. It's like turnovers. Not quite as bad as turnovers, but it's like turnovers, right? You can't win when you're constantly committing penalties, and you damn sure can't do it when they're pre-snap penalties. And then when you add all those layers, again, who is it? What kind of penalties are they? The fact that you can look to your left or right, whichever tackle you are, and check and see if you're legal. It just to the fact that one guy's at least trying to correct himself, the other guy looks like he's good. He's just going to prove something because they're targeting him and they're trying to make an example out of him. So he's going to keep doing what he's doing. Like the whole thing is a major, major issue. And the biggest question last night, Ron, and there's not an answer. I'm not asking you this to answer it, but the biggest question, I think, really, on text lines and callers and stuff last night, is how does D'Amico Ryans handle this? Because this isn't...
That's who it falls on.
You can't ignore this. Like, you can't ignore... With this football team, you can't just flat out ignore... You can't flat out ignore what happened to Laramie Tunsil yesterday. Like, it's got to be addressed to some degree. And, I don't know the answer, but I would imagine it's going to be a tough deal for D'Amico.
Yeah. All right, speaking of D'Amico, we're hoping to hear from him coming up next segment as he is... going to be meeting with the media. We will try to carry that for you as soon as possible. As I'm seeing here on the text line, some of you on YouTube and Twitch as well, and then some of the issues I had last night. Let me tell you something. I'm glad Clint addressed the penalties, and we've addressed the penalties. But I'm just going to tell you right now, depending if we take calls, those of you on the text line, Twitch, YouTube, whatever, those of you who are rolling out here with the officials played a part in this game in terms of they were screwing the Texans. I've seen they took away three first downs that could have been big drives with BS calls. It was 34-7. Ain't rolling there today, folks. I ain't got it.
Ass whooping.
I don't have it for you. I don't have it to try to use that as some sort of excuse. Like you can roll that. You could text that, but we ain't rolling that way. I promise you, if we take a call, I will hang up. if we take a call and someone's going in about that we got screwed, it was 34-7. It was 7-0. It was 14-0. It was 21-0. It was 21-7. It was 24. It got worse. It continued to get worse.
Yeah.
There was no screwed plays that pulled it back for you.
The interesting thing, and I'm seeing some of the images online people are posting, and it's just like the inconsistencies of calling or not calling it. And depending on what side you're on there, it's like you look at it like they didn't call it the first two or three times. I'm looking at it like they let your ass get away with it three times. I mean, once they call, they don't need to warn you every 5 seconds. Once they call it and say, hey, you're too far off the line. Like, scoot your ass up. It's just like what Tytus did. all the still images that I'm seeing, Tytus Howard is clearly getting the message and hearing them. There's one guy on that offensive line that's not hearing the message.
Those same people, somehow the Vikings figured it out.
Yeah.
Because I'd never heard it called over there. Or they could have been.
No, I'm just talking about the still images that I'm seeing. I think Will Kunkel posted a couple. He does a good job covering the Texans and responding to a lot of the issues. And it's like he's got three images, and I'm like, yeah, that's great. I look at it like clearly you're deeper than everybody else. So if they didn't call it, once they did call it, move up and with the problem solved. Yep. Tytus Howard moved up.
We'll see if D'Amico addresses that. Hopefully we'll hear from the coach coming up next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, a little housekeeping. I apologize. I got my times mixed up. D'Amico Ryan.
Don't take that, bro. That was my fault. That was on me.
Tyler, listen.
The bad weekend is continuing. That was on me.
Tyler, chill, man. You have enough bullets. Let me take that one. All right?
I appreciate you. I'm sorry.
The people are pretty in a tough place, and they need somebody to blame. And I'm telling you, it's coming your way. So just let me take that bullet.
All right. I'm sorry. My apologies.
Since it's already out, Tyler did screw up the time and forced me to look bad here. But D'Amico will come up here since the bottom of the hour. No, D'Amico will come up at about 2:40. We will carry that for you. And that will be interesting because it's interesting how we look at games. As Tyler said, it was the most embarrassing he's ever been as a fan. Clint, I said, what was the thing that jumped out to you the most? And for you, it was the penalties. And I think a lot of it has to do with, hell, you picked up 12 last week. And now that's two straight weeks with double-digit penalties. And it's just discipline, and it's a bad look. For me, Clint, I was shocked while it was happening, continued to be shocked as it continued to happen, and shocked when it was over. I cannot believe how overmatched and outcoached the Texans were. Kevin O'Connell, and I'm just saying for yesterday what we saw. Kevin O'Connell and Brian Flores, that matchup versus D'Amico Ryans and Bobby Slowick, that wasn't even close.
Dang it, Bobby, that's exactly what we don't want.
And it continued to get worse, and it was perplexing, some of the decisions that were made by the Texans. I mean, there's so many things you can roll with it. I mean, I think the first play of the game that the Texans seemed to unveil their crack game plan to really stymie Jonathan Greenard, and that was to put Cade Stover, a rookie tight end, on him, and they continued to do it even though they came out here and made Jonathan Greenard have, I think I heard you say in the post game, a career day if it wasn't close.
Oh my God.
And then they said, hey, Dalton Schultz, I know this is absolutely the worst thing you do on the field, but here, you go get the other guy, Jerry Tillery. Yeah. You go do that. I'm just blown away. And then
John Greenard.
I mean, Justin Jefferson, how they defended him in the first half was just another one that just made no sense. So to me, Clint, the coaching situation of how much they were dominated, that was the thing that jumps out to me the very, very most from that game.
Absolutely. Now, the most alarming thing to me is the penalties. The most disappointing thing is what you're talking about right now. Both plans were very, very suspect. D'Amico Ryans at least made an adjustment at halftime. It appears made an adjustment at halftime because Justin Jefferson didn't touch the ball in the second half. But the way in which, by formation, the Minnesota Vikings were able to get twice early in this game, Justin Jefferson matched up on Eric Murray. And then on the touchdown that Jones scores, he's got Justin Jefferson matched up on Azeez Al-Shaair in the end zone 1-on-1. Now, he just cleared it out, and Aaron Jones scores the easy touchdown, which is a big part of it. But to think that whatever your plan was didn't revolve around keeping that from happening for multiple times. It happened multiple times early in this game. The defensive game plan from jump was extremely suspect. The thought that you're going to give Justin Jefferson a free release consistently early in this game and allow him to get matched up on those players early in this ball game. Now, if they were to adjust in the second half and they did some things formationally and maybe with some motions or whatever, alignments, that just confused you and it happened, cool, I get it. This was from jump. And so that clearly was disappointing. And you mentioned offensively, like, and the thing offensively, no doubt about it, Cade Stover multiple times on Jonathan Greenard or any defensive end is setting that kid up to fail. And this is a coaching staff that prides himself and have done an elite job at not asking players to do things they can't do. Make sure the players are playing to their strengths. Putting Dalton Schultz in a situation and Cade Stover even worse in a situation where they've got to block rush ends, true defensive ends, true edge rushers, is plumb ass silly.
You think they would have done this to Brevin Jordan?
I don't know. But Brevin's glad he's injured right now. For that 1 week, he was glad he wasn't out there. Because here's the deal. Here's even the more alarming part of this topic we're talking about, Ron. In the post-game presser, C.J. Stroud, he flat out said, no, they didn't do anything we didn't expect them to do. So you're telling me.
I don't believe that.
Now you're telling me that they did exactly what you expected them to do defensively coming out of the gate. And early in this game, your plan was Cade Stover on a rush on a defensive end, Dalton Schultz on a defensive end. That is as bad as we've seen Bobby Slowick from a plan perspective. That's the poorest that I've seen Bobby Slowick ever plan.
It's the first game against the Ravens.
Putting Dieter at tackle.
And let him go one-on-one with a speed rusher.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that was just, I mean,
it's just they kept doing it.
Well, that's the other part of this thing.
Don't both of those things, when you say that, and I know we got to get out because we got to get to D'Amico, but the Jefferson thing and how he was getting matched up on, like, third and goal. Or third downs with Eric Murray and Aziz, and then the tight end thing. If you saw it, you would think, well, that was something blown.
That was some
freaky formation. That was a blown coverage or something, or damn, he had to pick. No, they were doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
Repeatedly.
Yeah. It was the plan. That's the scary part. It's a plan. And then offensively, at least D'Amico appeared to adjust at half.
Something, yeah.
Bobby didn't adjust because guess what? The last interception that CJ threw.
It was Jonathan Greenard.
I'm not sure. Was it JG at his feet?
I believe so, yeah.
But it was a tight end blocking an edge rusher again in the fourth, early in the fourth quarter. So
Johnny Greenard.
Like that just can't be.
I just
To at no point go big on big and then handle the inside pressure with backs and tight ends from the backfield spot. Like, that's just.
There were times I was blaming Tunsil, and then we get the replay. I'm like, no, they just never even had Laramie on them. Best pass blocking tight end. I mean, best pass blocking tackle in the game. And, no, let's go the other way with it. I thought. All right, D'Amico Ryans, we'll head to NRG and let you hear from the coaches. He's had a day to watch the tape, and we'll get his thoughts on what happened, where they are right now on a Monday, from the head coach.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number
one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Coming up next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, let's head to NRG right now, and let's hear from D'Amico Ryan, seeing what he's got to say after yesterday's tough loss in Minnesota.
I think you learn, first and foremost, like how hard it is to win in this league. And you have to be on the details of your job every single time that you step out there, especially when you're on the road, right? It's always harder playing on the road. So you definitely have to be on your assignments, be where you're supposed to be. And you cannot hurt yourself, right? When you're going against a tough opponent, really good team, tough crowd, like you have to not hurt yourself, but you have to see what, find ways to continue to help yourself and everybody playing together.
Going into the season, the league wanted to make emphasis on the tackles and the illegal formations. And when they came to you and they talked to you about it, what was the understanding of it? And, you know, was it brought up that it could change week to week depending on which referee and crew you have?
Now, with the penalties of lining up, right, we have to be better. We have to align right. You know, it's clear with the rules of how we should line up, so we have to line up correctly, and that starts with us.
The different penalties and the illegal formation penalty that you all have occurred, as well as some of the leaks in allowing pressure to get to CJ Stroud.
Yeah, we go to the drawing board and we fix it. We got to line up right, which I know we can do. We have to line up right, and we have to protect as best we can up front. Just five guys just working together. Or if it's six. Six guys in particular, we all have to work well together, and we have to play relentless. We have to swarm up front, and we have to get the guys blocked.
We come from an officiating standpoint. They have analytics about everything. Some crews, they have stats about the tendencies. When you have any crew, how much information do you guys have available to you and to communicate to the players? Like, hey, these guys really have been calling a lot of holding, or maybe they call the false start or whatever.
Yeah, the analytics with the referees really doesn't matter to me. We teach playing the game the right way, and that's all that matters. When you step out on the field, you play the game the right way. However they call it, they call it. It really doesn't matter. I don't want players worried about how the refs call it. You have to go play your technique the right way, and that's the only thing that matters.
Well, I think it feels like the majority of the sacks that have gotten to CJ, even some like the suppressors, have come on like stunts in games. How do you guys go about kind of trying that? Because it doesn't feel like they get beat one-on-one. It feels like most of the time, the pressure, things of that nature, it's off of stunts. How do you guys go about improving the communication to make sure that can become mitigated?
Yeah, the communication and everything with the stunts, it starts up front. It starts with the coaches. Like, we have to make sure our guys understand it and make the proper calls so all the guys are working together and see it the exact same way. And all guys are communicating, not relying on one person, but everybody communicating, working well together. And, you know, we know the issues there. We have to get it fixed. We can't allow the same things to continue to happen. All right, starting coaches, players have to take ownership as well, and we have to get it fixed.
Do you have to practice with Laramie out of here? Practice him lining up, or is he just supposed to know where he lines up?
Yeah, we know where the line. LT, he knows where to align, and we just have to do a better job of getting it done.
It's still early in the week, and they're playing a game tonight, but early impressions of the Jaguars, what they do well, some of the challenges they present?
Yeah, Jaguars would be a really, really good team to go against. I mean, with Doug Peterson, you know, Super Bowl head coach, he knows offensive football. He knows how to deploy his guys in the proper way. They can be an explosive attack, especially downfield with the new guys that they've added. Always respected the running back, ETN, just
with the running game, also in the screen game. They do a really great job of executing on the screens. So we have to be dialed in. You know, it's, we get this one out, you know, bad game, flushed out of our system. But, you know, we're excited to have a division opponent coming into our house and, you know, see how we respond.
With some of the success they had with some of their rushers against the tight ends when the tight ends were blocking, is that just, hey, that guy beat our guy that time, we got to be better next time? What kind of goes into using those guys as blockers in those situations against that type of player?
Yeah, when you have different protections that are called, you mix up the protection scheme. Sometimes you have tight ends, you know, blocking the edge. Sometimes, you know, they're chipping out. Sometimes they're single one-on-one. But you mix it up as much as possible. And yeah, our tight ends ended up one-on-one in a few matches, and they got us on a couple of the rushes. We had to be better and block it up, and we got to get rid of the football.
You and Matt and the defensive players have talked a little bit about the relationship between the rush and the coverage. Just how did you see that relationship kind of function yesterday?
For us, I thought we had good rush at times where we were around the quarterback, but we didn't finish as much as we needed to. The coverage piece was there. It's a sloppy day on both ends. We had some really good rushes, and then the coverage wasn't right. We had good coverage, and then the rush didn't get the quarterback down. So, you know, I like the way our guys played. We just got to be able to finish around the quarterback better.
You know, the second quarter and a little bit of the third, you only gave up 7 points, I believe. How do you guys go into challenging that throughout the majority of the game? Because you guys have moments where defense is playing really well, but they have other moments where it kind of falls apart. How do you guys go about just channeling it to before it lasts the entire game?
Yeah, it's a matter of guys really just dialed in, being on the details of their job. Like, we've had some really good moments, good stretches of football, and we want it all to look that way. But the other side, they make plays as well. So I'm not aloof to that. They have good players, and they make plays, good scheme, good coaches. They make plays as well. And we have to just – I think we had some opportunities there to capitalize and get some plays in our favor, and we didn't. We missed a lot of opportunities that we had in that game, and that falls back on us.
In the NFL, they talk about the 24-hour rule, win or lose. How much is that an emphasis to the guys to use today as the last day and then turn this page?
The 24-hour rule is always in effect. Whether we win or lose, hey, you flush it and you move on. That has no bearing on our next opponent. So we move on and accept the next challenge that's in front of us.
Why do you think Sam Darnold was able to have this type of success that he had against Romo?
With the success that Darnold had, again, it goes back to, it was a lot of the plays were made, were in the red zone, where, you know, we dropped the guy in coverage on one play. We had good coverage. The rush wasn't good on another touchdown. We had opportunity to pick the ball off on one, so we're in position to make those plays. So I don't think it's not so much of what Sam Darnold did, but so much of what we didn't do with being in the right spot and actually making the plays. Like, we're on the receivers, right? But also we have to make plays. So just because you're there, not saying he made some good throws, but we have to challenge guys, be stickier, and we have to make plays when the ball is in the air.
Do you still have confidence in that this offensive line, with all the factors we've talked about, can still be effective and do what you need them to do?
Sure. Our offensive line, they'll get it going. They'll do exactly what we need them to do. They had some really good reps in the game. Everybody likes to talk about the negative reps. We had a lot of good protection in the game where we completed a lot of deep passes in the middle of the field. We had a lot of explosive plays that were made, and we had really good protection. So I don't let a few bad plays dictate of who we are. I know who we are, and I know how our guys will respond. So I'm excited about our O-line and what's in front of them.
I think the game, Coach Howell, what does it say about your team that yesterday after that loss, everybody's in the locker room taking accountability? No one, you know, they're not pointing the finger at anyone. Everyone is taking the blame.
That's what it's about. Is, you know, it's a team-first mentality. That's what I want our team to be about. It's always about the team. So every guy has to man up and be accountable for everything that happened in the game. And I always tell a guy, it always starts with me, right? From the outing, we didn't play well. So if you want to blame anybody, blame me first and foremost, and we'll work as coaches to get it fixed.
You're listening to D'Amico Ryans, and this is press conference at NRG.
Changed your opportunity to do so, but what were you able to learn about the rushing attack and how Cam and JJ and some of those other guys were able to do in this without Joe and without Damian in there.
Our rushing attack wasn't good enough on yesterday, and it's going to start, you know, with everybody collectively, wide receivers, O-line, everybody together, working together. It wasn't good enough.
How do you feel CJ kind of read Florida's defense? You know, obviously you said like there were some plays where he was explosive. Man, how do you feel like he overall went about seeing just some of the disguises that Florida was throwing at him?
I thought CJ did a solid job with all of the looks that they gave us. I thought he did a solid job of making the plays that he needed to make when he was hot. He hit his answers versus pressure. So we had thought Steph played a really good game for us. He was, made some clutch catches to keep us in on some of those drives and get us moving down the field. Nico, again, showed up. We need him to show up and made plays for us. So, you know, our team hasn't changed. We had one loss. Our team hasn't changed. We still have playmakers. We still have a really good unit. We had a bad week. Now we flush that out and move on to the next one.
On the running game, do you have any hope that Joe and or Damian could return to practice and see if they might have a chance to give it a go this week?
Yeah, we'll see where those guys are as the week goes on.
Coach, with the success that you all have, do you think that sometimes people don't realize that even this is year two, it's going to be some growing pains?
Now, for me, you take it 1 week at a time, right? It's 1 week at a time. That's why I wanted to tell our guys last week, everybody is, you know, patting you on the back and congratulating you for being 2-0, and that meant nothing, right? It means nothing. It's 1 week at a time, and that's the same thing goes for this week. It doesn't matter what the record is. It's all about how you show up each and every week. Show up ready to play, execute when we need to execute, and the outcome will be different.
I know you don't like to look back, but you bounced back from the Jets loss last year. You won the next game, won 3 of the last 4. Was there something you as the head coach learned from that experience, or do you think it's something the players learned that they can still bounce back from the bad performance?
For one thing, I think that for a player, for myself, what I learned, I just tell the truth. Like, I just put the film up and I tell the truth of so guys can actually see what happened and why we lost the game. And everybody would like to blame, you know, one person or put it in one person. But I show everybody that it's not just one play. It's not just one person. It's not just one thing. It's a collection of a lot of different things that had to go bad for you to lose the game. Now, it's all about each man owning up to it and fixing it the next week so the same thing doesn't happen again.
Thanks, Coach.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, that was D'Amico Ryans and the head coach. And, yeah, I think that's a big thing they need to work on is guys accepting that it wasn't officiating and it was them who did things and hold themselves accountable. And at worst, not go to the media and start blaming other people. That would be a good first step. I totally agree with the head coach, D'Amico Ryans, on that. All right, coming up, little big three at 3. We'll get what happened to the Astros over the weekend. We'll highlight the two biggest stories there. Also, some more on this game as the Texans had their first loss to the Vikings yesterday. We'll discuss all of that as we continue riding here on the drive.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.